From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Halle Berry and Governor Gavin Newsom, two names that haven't graced the same sentence until recently, and the topic, menopause. It all unfolded at the New York Times Deal Book Summit last week. Halle Berry was speaking about women's health and called out Governor Newsom for his opposition to menopause legislation at the state capitol, a clip that has since gone viral.
Back in my great state of California, my very own governor, Gavin Newsom, has vetoed our menopause bill, not one, but 2 years in a row. But that's okay, because he's not going to be governor forever. And with the way he's overlooked women, half the population, by devaluing us in midlife, he probably should not be our next president either.
Now, TMZ ended up tracking down the governor shortly after, where he told the celebrity gossip outlet that he smoothed things over and reconciled with the actress, adding that menopause funding will be put into next year's budget. However, details on that are paper thin. This is one of the more high-profile examples of menopause taking up more space in the public eye and conversation. A growing number of lawmakers, celebrities, public health experts, and everyday women have been coming forward with the gaps of care and understanding about an inevitable part of life for roughly half the population. So today, we're going to learn more about the menopause legislation that Governor Newsom vetoed not once, but twice. Rebecca Bauer-Cahan is a state assembly member. The Democrat authored menopause legislation that has hit roadblocks. Welcome, assembly member.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for talking about menopause.
Yes, of course. So you were first elected in 2018. You represent East Bay communities. How did menopause care enter the conversation and become pieces of policy and legislation?
I'm now in my late 40s, and I am personally perimenopausal. And so it really came to me through my own lived experience of not being able to find the right care and my friends not being able to get the coverage they needed.
You know, from one person to the next, going through menopause or any health issue can vary very greatly. And so I think it's common also for women in this case to not really know much about menopause or even perimenopause until they themselves start experiencing it, start feeling a little off. When you were talking to stakeholders about this issue, what did you learn throughout this process?
You know, I've learned so much. And honestly, I'm now, you know, way more knowledgeable than I was when I was seeking care. But, you know, I've learned exactly what you said. It is different for every woman. Every person with a uterus will go through it if they live long enough, with ovaries, I should say. But it is something that requires individualized care. And that if we get the care we need, we can live longer, healthier lives, and we can have the lives we deserve in our midlife. And so we should have physicians and nurse practitioners and others trained to provide us that care, and it should be easy and accessible.
And that currently doesn't exist?
So in the what we experienced and what we were able to confirm through our independent analysis that's done on all healthcare bills in California is that some care is covered. So if you have systemic estrogen patch, for example, which is really a frontline care, it is covered. But there are many women, say you have a risk of breast cancer, who can't use those treatments, and many of the alternative treatments are not covered by insurance. And I will tell you that the training piece might be even more important, because as a woman who went to three doctors, and it was only the third who could actually have the conversation with me, we need more physicians trained to help women get the care they need.
Yeah, I guess as it stands now, what kind of training and information do physicians receive about menopause?
From what we've gathered, it can be an hour, one lesson in medical school. It is incredibly minimal what they are learning. And so, you know, the Menopause Society, and I say that importantly here because it is a place to get good science-based resources for women looking for menopausal information, is taking steps to get Menopause Society certified doctors who do have a better understanding and a better training on these subjects. But doctors have to seek it out. It is not part of their medical training currently. Although we're seeing a shift. The conversation that women like me are forcing is changing things like this every day.
So you did author bills. What would these pieces of legislation done had they been signed into law?
Yeah, so they both in different ways. They were different pieces of legislation, but both fundamentally did two things. It ensured that when you walked into a doctor, they knew what the best way to treat you was if you were a menopausal woman. And that's important not just for our frontline doctors, for our internists, our family practitioners, but for our cardiologists, for our neurologists. It affects your brain. When you have brain fog, you need the person you're talking to be thinking about the way your body is changing in midlife. And so it ensured in the first instance that they were receiving that information. In the second bill, we actually went so far as to say that it needed to be part of their continuing education, which hit roadblocks. So then we shifted to incentivizing them getting that continuing education in California. And then it required that the insurance companies cover the care that was prescribed by these doctors that had the expertise to decide what our bodies need.
Yeah, and that's an important point. Like when you author a bill, it can look very different from the beginning to the end because of negotiations. Why did you hit roadblocks?
This is not easy. You know, we are just starting this conversation about menopause, and we are almost, women are now almost half of the California state legislature. So that is a huge improvement in this conversation and the way it's being received. But it is a lack of understanding. Honestly, there is very little research done on women in midlife, on menopause. You know, Halle Berry has done a huge work in Washington to get money on research in menopause, and that's really important. But that lack of understanding has led to roadblocks of people not understanding why this is a context where insurance companies saying it's not medically necessary may be based on a lack of understanding of what our bodies need at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you did have some successes. Your bill overwhelmingly passed the Assembly and the Senate, but Governor Newsom did veto it from becoming law. I mean, saying in part it was too far reaching or had unintended consequences to healthcare costs. How do you respond to the veto and the rationale behind it?
Costs are really important. And we are at a moment where, as a result of what is happening in Washington, healthcare costs are going to rise for everyday Americans, and that includes Californians. And so we do need to be vigilant about healthcare costs. We have the independent analysis that was done on the bill, and it shows that costs would be minimal. So we really felt like we had managed the costs through the amendments we made in the bill, but he didn't think I did enough. And so in the veto message, as you may have noticed, it said that he was going to work with us on it, and he was going to pass legislation in the budget, which means it goes into effect immediately. So that could be, you know, even in September, we were excited that perhaps we could get menopausal related work done as early as January. And I, you know, he's made that commitment and he has reiterated it, and I'm optimistic that will happen.
Okay, because that my next question was going to be, since there's overwhelming support from lawmakers, more than two thirds of lawmakers at the state capitol, you could have overrode the governor's veto with another vote. Why not go that route?
I have never in my time in the legislature seen a veto override, and there have been supermajorities in both houses my entire tenure. You know, we are much, I think all government should be people working together to overcome differences. Policy is better when we find compromise and middle ground. And so I actually look forward to meaningful conversations that allow women to get the care that both Halle Berry and I think are necessary, but also the governor thinks is feasible for Californians. And so I think the work is better done through the process that is currently underway, rather than just brute force.
Yeah, I mean, circling back to the dispute between Halle Berry and the governor, you know, the governor mentioned that the actress was unaware that he prioritized funding for menopause in the upcoming budget, something that you just touched upon. When did you become aware of this? You mentioned, like, perhaps back in September?
So in the veto message that was, I believe the end of September was when that came out. I don't have it in front of me. He said that he wanted
I do, October 13th.
Okay, October. Oh, see, I'm not even in the right month. Thank you. In October, when he vetoed it, you know, he made clear in that letter that he wanted to do it in the budget. Our conversations have always been consistent with that. His budget proposal will come out in January, as it always does. And so we anticipate that we will see it either before or then. But his commitment to that has been consistent, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, but you know that the proposed budget in January is going to look very different from the May revise to when it's actually signed into law in July or in the summer. So what confidence do you have that there will be menopause-related funding in the upcoming budget, given the budgetary fiscal issues and the deficits that the state has been facing?
I don't know whether it will be resources, right? I mean, the bill itself actually required no resources on the part of the state. And so if he wants to put money into menopausal care, that is something that obviously would be interesting and exciting, but not something that I have anticipated to date. And the question is, can we use this policy to improve care, which we've done in the past? If you look at the work we did on infertility services as a state, that was done through budget action. And so there are ways to provide medical care through budget action, and it may not be things that hit the bottom line. But you pointed out, and I think it's important to note, the legislature is overwhelmingly in support of this policy. And so I think that will help it happen in the budget.
Just curious, have you corresponded or talked with Halle Berry since she's become, a leader in this? You mentioned she's been to DC lobbying on these efforts.
Halle Berry was the sponsor of my bill. So she has been actively involved and provided testimony for hearings and wrote letters and met, with us and others to make sure that this moved forward. So she has been a fierce leader in this. And I really want to express my gratitude, not only as the author of this bill, but as a perimenopausal woman. I mean, she is truly fighting the fight on behalf of all of us. And that is true as part of this legislation.
Yeah, and of course you're a Democrat. You're an ally of the governor. What did you make of her statement at the New York Times Deal Book Summit last week?
I think it is important for women to be heard, and it is important for women to have their policy front and center. And we have never had a woman president. We have never had a woman governor in California. I think, she wants to be heard, and she wants this policy to become law. And I think that's really important. But, I think that's front and center, and I think we're going to get there. And I think we were going to get there before she said it, and I think we're going to get there now. And all of that makes me grateful that she, has been a partner on this.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Democratic Assemblymember Rebecca Bauer-Cahan about menopause legislation that she authored and was passed by the California legislature, but ultimately vetoed by Governor Gavin Newsom. How does California compare to other states when it comes to menopause-related legislation?
We're falling behind. But this is an opportunity for us to surge ahead.
I mean, is that surprising to you, given that, we've become a sanctuary state for reproductive rights, and that, of course, is related to women's health as well?
I don't think it's surprising. As a woman who is experiencing this, we have changed the conversation, our generation, and we are starting to demand good care and accessible care, but it has not been going on for very long. And so we are a large state, and our healthcare system is incredibly complex. So it's not surprising to me that it's taking us a little longer, but I know that California does not want to be behind, and so I know we will step up.
What role do you think parity at the state legislature has played? Experiences very much like your own, having experience in going through perimenopause, has led to, this push and this political will to get this legislation across the finish line eventually.
It matters. Having women at the table and having us demanding things like perimenopausal care is really important. I do not, when I entered the legislature just 7 years ago, we were less than a quarter of the state legislature, women were. So I do not think when we were that small that we could have, garnered this much support. And we've had three hearings on menopause to try to understand it and understand what the state can do. Those conversations have been well attended by my female colleagues and a few of our male allies. And those conversations happen and policy moves when women are at the table. And so it is really important that we're there.
When having those conversations and you're talking with healthcare companies, insurers, what did you learn about the challenges of providing this care?
It is complicated. Every woman's body is different. We all have different symptoms. This is not a playbook that is easy to put forward. And so, there are concerns about making sure women get safe and adequate care. And I understand that. But at the end of the day, I believe, like most Californians, I think my doctor is the one who best knows what's going to keep me safe.
Will you continue to draft legislation? And if so, have you thought about what you would do differently to not get a veto the next time?
We are trying to figure that out. I love my legislation. It's why I sent it to the governor, but we're listening to him to figure out how we can get it signed. But there is more to be done in this space, so we'll continue to do it.
Finally, for someone going through menopause or perimenopause or has a loved one who's going through this and they actually want to help and they don't know a lot about it, and so, they want to be better equipped, and just for people who are just struggling in general when it comes to this topic, what would you like them to know? What resources are available as you've come across, when talking to a lot of different people who are involved in this?
Yeah, I think the Menopause Society website is the best resource out there for women who are going through this. It provides a list of doctors that have been trained in menopause. So you can look up in your own local area who the doctors are that know the most about menopause. You can go see them and meet with them and learn more about how to treat your individualized body. And they have tons of resources.
Assemblymember, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
That is Democratic Assemblymember Rebecca Bauer-Cahan discussing menopause legislation that she authored and was passed by the California legislature, but ultimately vetoed by Governor Gavin Newsom. Up next, Waymos could be coming to Sacramento streets in the near future. We'll talk about what the rollout could look like and what it means to let technology take the wheel. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.